just another solid day in California. It's just the way that I was raised in California.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got.
And welcome to another edition of the Burn the Breeze podcast on the Fansmanship podcast feed. It's Owen Main here alongside Nick Wynn. Nick, what's happening, my man?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. It's a Monday, but it's, you know, it's still okay. Mondays are a little rough sometimes, but, you know.
Yes.
I'm sure everybody's experienced the roughness of the Monday.
Yeah, and it was a rough weekend for me and for the Big West as well, as we'll talk about shortly, and Cal Poly. But can only go up, as they say about Mondays.
You sure hope so, right? I mean, yeah. After the way the weekend went in terms of basketball, and we'll get right into it. Cal Poly hosted Princeton this weekend, and well, they in on New Year's Eve, or it was maybe December 30th of 2016. Cal Poly team was going to spend New Year's Eve in New York City the next day, I think, or maybe even that night, and they got shellacked. In New Jersey, they lost by, I think, 29 points out there, and basically this game was a carbon copy of that. Almost, it was another, you know, just kind of wire to wire win for the Princeton Tigers. They won pretty handily. Of course, Princeton's kind of a, you know, one of the favorites in the Ivy League, along with Harvard and a couple other teams, definitely in the top half of the Ivy League. So nothing
sure,
to sneeze
but
at.
I think the problem is that Princeton team last year went to the NCAA tournament. But they lost a lot of guys. Yep. So I think it's safe to say that the Princeton team, the 2017-2018 Princeton team, is nowhere near as good as the 2016-2017 Princeton team. They came into this game only having won three other games, none of them against anybody really great. And so for Poly to kind of replicate that same performance as they had last year is not a great sign. It's one thing to lose like that to a Princeton team that went to the NCAA tournament and gave their first round opponent all they can handle. But this team that will probably not be doing that, it's a bad sign that they lost that poorly.
Yeah. I mean, and it was really kind of a wire to wire kind of a game. Princeton came out and was more active offensively and defensively. Luke Meikle after the game talked about competitive spirit. That's something that stuck with me. I don't know if you watched any of the YouTube things that I put up in terms of the post game comments, but Luke, you know, I think he kind of hit the nail on the head in my mind, in terms of, you know, when you come out against any team in Division I college basketball and you don't have that kind of quickness, that kind of mental, you know, acuity that you're keyed up about. And I know it was finals week the week before. And I know that they've had a week now. They went to Bethune-Cookman and came back, and they've had kind of a week to mellow out, I guess, or whatever. But whatever they've been doing, they didn't really come out, you know, with their best foot forward. And before you knew it, Princeton was up by 10 and 12 and 15. And at that point, against a Princeton team that controls the ball really well, they only turned it over 10 times to Cal Poly's 9, I think, in the whole game, you know, was definitely something to see. And then Princeton just shot the lights out from three-point range. And part of that is because they got wide-open shots and time again. I can't count the number of times that Princeton drove in the middle, kicked it up, you know, kind of somewhere around the top of the circle where shooters love to shoot from. And especially when you get that ball pumped out to you right from under the basket, it's like you're shooting with the machine, right? You know, the machine that shoots the ball to you. You catch it, shoot it.
The Papa Shot one, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Papa Shot's the little game, but yeah.
Well,
I mean,
I guess, yeah, Papa Shot's the little one, but I know what you're
talking
about.
Yeah, I mean, it shoots out to you. It's a shooting machine when you put the big net around the rim. But guys, you know, that's what guys at this level are used to doing in terms of practicing. And so when you get those kind of open shots over and over again, and you're a really good shooting team, and that's what your coach, you know, probably recruits for, then you're not going to miss a lot of those shots. And Princeton went 16 of 24 from three-point range en route to a 20-point win, and it wasn't really even that close. It was around 25 for a lot of the game. Cal Poly found a little bit of success in the second half going into Luke Meikle down low, and even Hank Hollingsworth with his back to the basket. But you kind of say, man, that would have been a great game plan to kind of start the game off and then kind of get some inside-out three-pointers that way. As it stands, Cal Poly's...
I don't think, no matter what they did offensively, as good as Princeton was offensively making those shots, I think that was, Poly really didn't have a chance to kind of match them score for score.
When you look at the game itself, it wasn't super competitive. But I'm interested in what kind of your key takeaways were from the loss to Princeton, and that makes three in a row for Cal Poly, at least one of which they probably should have won in terms of the Bethune-Cookman game, just in terms of matchup versus matchup. But Cal Poly's fallen from the 230s, in KenPom's rankings at least, into I think the 280s now.
Yeah, and it's one of the weird things is I watched your interviews from after the game, and Joe made the point of saying that, look, these guys made a lot of shots. And I get that's Pomeroy did this big study about teams can't really control three-point defense. They can control how many three-pointers a team takes, but there's not really a lot of correlation from year to year based on three-point percentage defense. But at this point, I'm almost wondering if Cal Poly is the exception to the rule. Right now, they're giving up 42.2% on three-pointers. That's near the bottom of the country. In fact, it's 14th.
Yeah.
Last year, they gave up 39.8%, which was 10th worst in the country. The year before that, they gave up 40%, which was 4th worst in the country.
Right.
And they're doing enough to keep opponents off the three-point line. This year, they're 25th at not allowing a lot of three-point attempts. Last year, they were 3rd. The year before that, they were 55th. So they're doing what you would want them to do in terms of not giving up a lot of three-point shots. But when they do give up three-point shots, they go in.
Right.
And I don't know if 3 years of data on that is enough for you to go, man, Cal Poly is either the most unluckiest team in the country, or there's some kind of outlying there where it's not, they are controlling part of that data. You know what I mean? You're a baseball guy, and you talk about fielding independent pitching and how a pitcher can't really control what happens to a batted ball after it goes in play. But 3 straight years of poor batting average on balls in play tends to mean that there's something else going on there. And I think that's the case of Cal Poly.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the thing that kind of sticks out for me, and I know the game is different, and I know that, Joe's alluded to it in interviews with him before in terms of, the game changing and defensive guards and being able to be physical or not physical or whatever. But those, those 2-3 zone teams that Cal Poly used to put out there with that matchup 2-3, the harken back to the days that Kyle Otister was a freshman and David Hansen and Jordan Lewis were roaming the bottom of the 2-3 at times. And you kind of go back to that and you think to yourself, what was the thing that gave Cal Poly its identity then? It was a defensive identity, and it was an identity that made things hard for people, whether they're shooting threes or not. And the thing that was always really fascinating to me about that is the headiness of all those guys. So for example, if a point guard on one of those teams, say Lorenzo Keeler even, or Amari Furman, or even Jamal Johnson early on, or Otister, if some of those guys were playing the top and somehow they got switched down onto the low wing block on the 2-3, then that's just where they ended up because they helped the helper. And I don't know. I'd have to watch more tape to know if they're helping the helper. But to me, it's when it's a drive and penetration, or when it's off a off ball screen, and a guy gets open and somebody else has to help. You have to have a third rotation, right? Sometimes not just helping the helper, it's helping the guy who's helping the helper, right? And Princeton makes you pay in every respect for helping anybody or for doing anything slightly wrong. So credit them. But I just don't see everybody on the court having the same kind of ultimate court vision defensively as we've seen in the past, even in the more recent past, when you go through certain players. But I just don't see that kind of headiness from this team as a whole. And those are things that we talk about individual guys being kind of savvy or super heady on the court. I don't know that I see that whole team, and I think it does come down to a team. I think it's kind of like a collective thinking. I hate to be, you know, get kind of meta about it, but I don't see that kind of collective, this guy's moving, so I'm going to instantly move. It's like, this guy's moving, oh no, I should have moved over there. And the guy gets an open three or something like that. So I'm sure those are things that are going to get cleaned up and looked at in the film room. But Cal Poly now, you know, like I said before, has lost three in a row, and it's not like they were competitive against Fresno State or Princeton, really. I mean, I know, I know they were competing, but the game was well in hand pretty early on against both of those squads, and they got two tough ones.
And you can even say that honestly about Bethune-Cookman too. You know, Bethune-Cookman was up by double digits in the second half.
Yep.
And we talked about that was the one game that really realistically Poly should have won, but they should have probably been more competitive on Saturday night. Fresno State's a good team, but yeah, that's it. This, you know, when you watch the team of the last three games, you're wondering, how did that team beat College of Charleston?
Yeah, well, right.
And starting to seem more and more like that game was the outlier. That game was the fluke.
Well, but the Santa Clara game was, to interrupt you, the Santa Clara game was a lot like the College of Charleston game to me. And and as they were, as they were flowing and playing that way, however they were playing, I don't see any of that flow the last three games. I don't see that offensive movement. I don't see kind of the defensive scrambling. I think, when they were going good, that defense was scrambling around and being kind of weird and kind of like taking some weird chances. And we'll talk about where this team needs to go here in a minute. But first, Nick, I know you have a quiz for us today, so I wanted to get that going earlier on in the podcast today.
All right, so we're going to do the quiz. We're going to talk about Big West. It's going to be another Big West themed quiz.
Those are the best kind.
So, which will lead us into this discussion of the poor week for the Big West. But this will be hopefully more fun than that. So in the Big West, there's nine teams. You obviously know that.
Yep.
Of the nine, Hawaii has a mascot, but it's only for football. They have a guy that is their mascot for their football team, but they don't have a mascot for the other sports. So
like a physical mascot? Or like a name.
Yeah, I'll give you extra credit if you can name that guy. But I want to know the names of the other eight Big West mascots.
Well, obviously there's one that's very lucky that I know very easily. It's Cal Poly. It's Musty the Mustang.
Musty the Mustang, correct.
And one I learned this year is a horse. It's up at UC Davis, and his name's Gunrock.
Gunrock, and he is technically Gunrock the Mustang, which I think is kind of shady that their mascot's a Mustang.
It's a Mustang? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, his name is actually Gunrock the Mustang.
Oh, which, garbage.
Yeah, I mean, don't bite your rival's mascot. That's terrible.
Garbage.
So, yes, that's correct. So two of the eight.
Spoken like two Cal Poly guys. All right, so let's go down the coast from the north. We'll go to we'll go to UC Santa Barbara. Is it Olay?
Olay, who's like a kind of a newish mascot. I think they just introduced him a few years ago. Yeah. So yeah. Olay is the mascot for UC Santa Barbara, correct?
Okay. The Matador is Maddie the Matador?
Yeah. And Maddie the Matador, I'm on record as saying he is the creepiest Mustang or creepiest mascot I've ever seen in my life.
Have you ever seen the Cincinnati Reds mascot, Mr. Redlegs? That guy's.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's definitely creepy, and I love the video where he fell off the ATV and his head came off. That was kind of bad. But Matty the Matador looks like he should be in, on a wanted poster at the post office.
I think Redlegs is his cousin. in awesome. Cincinnati.
Scared children.
We're going south. We're into where? Let's see here. Long Beach State. The guy's a 49er. He's a minor 49er, and he is. Yeah. His name is. I don't know. What's his name? Bob the Niner.
No. I'll give you a hint. The Long Beach State mascot actually shares a name with another mascot who you not mentioned yet. It's kind of weird that there's two mascots that both have the same name.
All right. Well, let me come back to it. Let me come back to it then. UC Irvine is Peter the Anteater.
That is correct.
And so, yeah, the guy at Long Beach State's also Pete.
Correct. But do you know what the full name is? Can you give me the full name? It's related to his profession.
it's not Pistol Pete. It's like Minor Pete or something like that.
Is it Pistol? You're close. I feel like you're real close. All right, I'll give it that. He is Prospector Pete.
Prospector Pete.
Prospector
okay.
Pete. Yeah, is the mascot. But you're right. Peter DeAnager is the mascot.
I'm getting there.
For UCI.
I'm getting slowly. Scotty. Is it Scotty the Highlander?
Scotty Highlander is the bear. And honestly, that's the one I had to look up. I did not know. I knew there was a bear. I did not know what his name is. But you're right. Scotty Highlander is the UCR bear.
I have to
you
tell you, Peter.
One more.
Peter the Anteater is the best. Is the best Twitter follow of all of them. A few years ago, Musty the Mustang, who I had been able to kind of converse with after games sometimes, that guy was a hustler, and he was like the best, man. So props to you. You know who you are. I'm not going to say your name. But he started a Musty the Mustang account, promptly talked some trash and got his account suspended by Cal Poly. So,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't.
I hope they still do. I don't know if they still do it, but the Big West used to have like the mascot
challenge.
Competition
every year
at the tournament.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, and Musty always, the current or performer Musty's always did really well. The one who was always really good was the Tigers. That was the
Pacific.
Power Cat. The tiger for Pacific was always
So this guy,
monster.
This guy was.
Musty
I mean,
did well.
The guy who was gone last year, the guy whose last year was last year. I think he was a freshman or sophomore when Polly went to the tournament, and he was hustling so hard. I think at one of the games, at least, like he had to like, you know, get some fluids and stuff. I don't know if he went to the hospital, but he, I mean that Mustang suit, just so you guys know, it's like if any of the wrestlers need to lose some weight, they could just go in there and just dance around during a game. I mean, it is brutal and gross, especially
all
season
mascot
football.
Suits, you never want to smell a mascot suit. They
oh
always.
Oh my god! Just don't get too close. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. I'm stalling to think about the Titan of Cal State Fullerton. It's an elephant.
It is an elephant.
And his name is Titan the Elephant.
Yeah, it's very close.
Timmy
it's
the
an
Titan.
Alliterative. It's an alliterative name.
Tommy or Timmy?
No. It is Tuffy.
Tuffy
the Titan.
There you go. Well, I did pretty good. I got what?
No, I'd say you have like 7.5 out of the 8. I would say.
Yeah. High five. Yeah. All right.
Do you happen to know at all the Hawaii? I did not know what the guy's name was.
It's the Rainbow Warriors.
He is the Rainbow Warrior, but he actually has a name. The guy that comes out dressed up. He reminds me of the San Diego State guy.
Yeah,
Monty Montezuma, right? Yeah.
And I don't know if it's still Monty Montezuma. That was a big deal when I was in college. They were actually talking about that was like early on in the, I don't want to say like mascot wars, but that was early on in the, you know, concept that maybe you need to change your mascot.
And
San Diego State people were flipping out. I don't know what it is, but it's something. I don't know. What is it?
It's Vili the Warrior, which honestly, again, I did not.
Vili. Okay.
Well. Vili the Warrior is the Hawaii guy that comes out. Not wearing a shirt and doing that whole bit. So
we learn something new every day.
Yes.
As we wind down the Cal Poly talk, I want to mention that Din Leopepe for the women's team got Big West Player of the Week this week. She dropped 32, I think. She dropped 31 because it's her sister's number on North Dakota State, I think, in the victory up there. It was
I think so. Correct.
Good road win for Cal Poly and Faith Mimnah's squad. They're on a really long road trip right now. They finish it out at Utah Valley this week, and Cal Poly, of course, heads to SMU and UT Arlington, two top 100 teams, two teams that are going to be really tough. And while you're talking about mascots, do you know what the SMU mascot is? It's of course the.
It's a Mustang.
It's a Mustang. Yeah. So
it is
Mustang on
Mustang
crime.
Only two Mustangs, right? Yeah. So. I don't think there's any other Mustangs
in Division One basketball. Division One sports.
I believe those are the only two.
Cool. So that'll be fun to check out. Both of those games are on ESPN3. The first one on Thursday, and I think Tuesday, and then is it Friday?
Correct.
It Tuesday, Friday.
No, I believe it's Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday and Thursday.
And then they're off for a little bit after that. So that's nice to have like a week for Christmas. Team, and then. They come back, regroup, play a non-Division I opponent in Notre Dame Dinamuir before hosting UC Santa Barbara after the new year. I think it's like the 3rd or something like that. It's a Thursday.
Thursday the 4th.
The 4th, right. Okay.
And honestly, I hate those non-Division I games, but that Notre Dame-Denver game is might actually end up being useful, because I think even before these three losses, I would have said that Cal Poly was probably didn't have much of a chance to beat either one of those teams, especially SMU. SMU's got two guys.
Either of the drafted. Texas teams.
Yeah, yeah. They're SMU's one of the best teams in the country. So Pauly's not going to beat them. Kind of knew they weren't going to beat them before these three losses. The Arlington, it's probably too much for them to handle. Arlington's one of the better teams in the Southland. They might win that conference. What I'm worried about for Pauly coming off these three games is I could foresee a scenario where Pauly goes and ends up losing both of those games by a combined like 45 or 50 points, and right. It just gets completely demoralized. And you would not want to go into conference play coming off the back of five straight losses and going to Texas and getting beat badly by these two teams. So I'm actually kind of glad they have that Notre Dame Day Namur game in, because I'm figuring they're going to come back. They're going to be down, you know, have five losses in a row, and at least it will give them a chance to see some shots go in and build some confidence and
right.
Get a win on the board before they start conference play.
Right, and this kind of five-game stretch, we knew it was going to be a little bit brutal, because we knew Fresno State was very good. We knew Princeton was tough. Obviously, SMU and UTA. I guess the one that would have been nice to get would have been that Bethune-Cookman game. And coming off of this road trip, it'll be nice for people to get away for a minute, take a deep breath, reevaluate. I think both from a player perspective, but also like a coaching perspective, kind of halfway evaluations for your team. One of the things that I wanted to get into, and we don't have to stay there very long, Nick, because we're trying to shorten this thing. But one of the things that one of the impressions that I had after the game when I was talking to a friend about it was that what I want is for Cal Poly to get a little bit weird. It seems to me that over the past couple of years, they've gone from having a clear identity and being weird. I mean, if you remember when Joe Calero went on Jim Rome show after they made the tournament, that was the lead, right? It was like, hey, you know, we're a little weird. Everybody's a little weird. Weird is good. And it seems like they've gone from weird and pesky and annoying to play against to more mainstream. And while they've gotten more mainstream kind of, I guess, you know, talents in some cases, they also lose games now by 25 or 20, where, you know, even in a game that Cal Poly got blown out back in the day, they'd lose games by 12. You know what I mean? Like they would be in games most of the time. They wouldn't lose three games in preseason by 20 or 25. You know, no matter who they played, really, it seemed like. And maybe that's revisionist history. Maybe that's just how I'm imagining it. But I haven't seen a team be frustrated, win or lose, you know, kind of playing against Cal Poly in my kind of recent memory. And with this team and how they shoot threes, and with this team and how they operate, especially on the road now, you have a chance to kind of get weird. And I know they're playing teams that are huge, you know, that are high D1, yeah, high major, you know, teams, and these are teams that are good for a reason, and they're ranked highly for a reason. But I think when you're looking for an identity, sometimes getting weird is the way to do it. It might be the opposite of what they need. I don't know. Maybe they need to be, you know, just kind of grind and do better with what they're doing. But I know I came away from that last game just thinking about, like, how can they be weirder? How can they make the game tougher for opponents? If you're looking,
sure.
And we'll go into Big West Conference here, and I want to start kind of at the bottom, because a team like UC Riverside is seventh on KenPom. They're only 3-7 on the season, but they should be a little bit better than that, maybe. And they beat Cal, right, at Cal. Their offense is horrendous.
Weird, yeah.
Their offense is horrendous, but they're going to be a beast to play against, because their defense is what, fourth best, fifth best? No, excuse me. Their defense is second, third. Yeah, tied for third best in the conference.
Yeah.
In terms of defensive efficiency, and they're going to be a pain in the ass to play against. And that's not going to be a fun game whenever you play them. That's going to be a frustrating game that you have to have mental stamina to win. And those are
sure.
the kinds of, I don't know. Those are the kinds of games that Pauly I used to feel really great about. I don't know that it's that frustrating to play against the Mustangs. The third third worst defense in the conference, you know, and you know, they got to find a way to find a little bit of defensive identity. They have to find a way to play together a little bit more. And some of those guys, you know, just from watching it, and we'll get into the Big West, have to have, I think, a little bit more dominant personalities on the court. They gotta have a little conflict here in the next three games. And I don't mean they gotta fight with each other. I mean they gotta work some stuff out there. And
sure.
And by now you would have kind of liked to have seen them work stuff out. I know that Josh Martin was hurt up until a couple games ago, so you know they gotta reintegrate him, and they gotta work out kind of who's doing what out there, both on both ends of the floor. And I think road games, in terms of being hopeful, I think road games are a real place where they can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, these are two games that, like you talked about 5 years ago, you would be looking forward to that Cal Poly team that just grinds it out. And even though they're not as talented as the other team, you knew you were going to have to guard them for 30 to 35 seconds out of every possession, because they were going to try. They were probably going to take that long.
Right. They're going to mess around. Right.
On the defensive end, you knew that they were going to play that matchup zone. They were going to be all over the place. They were not going to give you any easy shots. And you're right that more and more this year, and unfortunately the last couple of years, it seemed like when they give up easy baskets, their kind of identity is, well, we give up basket, let's go down and try and score and outscore teams. And that's not the Cal Poly that we were used to seeing when Joe first started there. And I think for, especially like you said, for games like this, where you're going up against two teams that are probably more talented than you are,
right,
you would have liked to see some of that kind of, you know, we're going to grind this out and we're going to make you win or earn this win, as opposed to just coming out and out talenting us on the court.
It'd be one thing if they had a 108 adjusted offensive ratio like UC Santa Barbara does, and we'll get into the
sure.
other Big West schools here now. You know, but they're definitely sitting, you know, just a little below average in terms of Division One, you know, in kind of the middle of the road there, while having, you know, a defense that's been pretty porous so far. So we'll see if Cal Poly can, you know, I think best case scenario looking at this week, Nick, is that one of these games gets close, kind of like that Cal game got. You know, something that gets within single digits at the, you know, where they're pesky, they're fighting, they're making a bunch of threes, because these,
sure,
these other teams don't scout them super hard. They don't take them super seriously. You know, they may not, you know, be all in Vic and Don's grill like a lot of these, you know, last couple weeks teams have been, you know, because of the disparity just in terms of where the teams are at. But we'll see what happens. Maybe a couple of those guys can get some confidence. I really need to see Victor and Don as kind of the catalyst of the offense. And I want to see more plays where it's, you know, Victor driving and drawing Josh Martin's man and throwing him at alley-oop instead of,
sure,
instead of like Josh getting a post-to-post pass for a dunk or something like that. I think getting Josh involved in the offense, you know, he's at his best when he's playing kind of a Cedric Ceballos game, as opposed to like a, you know, Chris Eversley bat, you know, post up game. I think he can do either one, but I think in terms of what's best for the offense and Cal Poly at large, I think it's that kind of, you know, pick up the garbage, you know, work your butt off for 20, 25,
sure,
you know, 20, 25, maybe 30 minutes in a big game. But, you know, I want to see him having more kind of garbage plays where he's tipping the ball to himself or catching a loose ball. And that's, you know, maybe that's timing in terms of injury too. And we'll see how that goes. You talked about the Big West. So tell me, who fared well and who didn't fare so well this week in the Big West?
It was bad. It was a bad week. Hawaii needed the last second bucket last night to beat Utah Valley, which is a good win. As we talked about, Utah Valley is a decent team,
but the bellwether,
that last second bucket for Hawaii finished off a 1-9 week for the Big West. If they had not gotten that that basket, the Big West would have been winless on the week. So you start looking for positives other places. UCI, who we've talked about, has kind of struggled to start the year, had a 7-point loss at St. Mary's and was kind of competitive, which is a good result, I guess.
Yeah.
UCSB played fairly well at USC. They just got outshot. USC just put a ton of points on them. They lost by 11 down there at the Galen Center. So it wasn't a great week overall for the Big West. They slipped in most of the rankings. I think Pomeroy now has a behind the Big Sky. Again, with only the 10 games on slate because of finals week and all that kind of stuff, there just wasn't a lot of action out there. There's more games going on this week, so hopefully they'll be able to right the ship. There's they have four or five games against the Big Sky. They have a few games against the West Coast Conference, a couple games against the Mountain West. So it should be a pretty good week, or an interesting week at least for the Big West, as we kind of start to figure out things going in the conference play.
Yeah, Cal State Fullerton took Cal to overtime at Hospital.
I didn't mention that. You know, with Cal, it's so bad. Like, I don't even think. I mean, that's a big deal to take a Pac-12 school to overtime.
Yeah, no matter who you are, right?
Yeah, but yeah, that Cal team is terrible.
And Long Beach State, you know, Long Beach State played Eastern Michigan at home and lost to them. That's not a great loss. That's kind of, you know,
it's one of those things. If you go to Ypsilanti or whatever and lose a game by five, that's probably okay. But you would think a team, Long Beach, if they were going to contend for the conference, that's a game they probably should have
won.
Well,
yeah, and I just look at, you know, rankings of opponents, and if Eastern Michigan's in the 140s, 150s, you know, that's a good Big West school, I guess. You know,
yeah.
But it would be nice to get a win in a game like that. Certainly, we've seen Big West schools in the top 100 before. We've seen Big West schools, you know, multiple Big West schools in the top 125 or 130. We've seen, you know, three or four at a time sometimes. So,
sure.
You know, when you see those schools like that, of course, Long Beach State now goes to Michigan State, which will be a tough one. They're number two in the country, according to KenPom. So yeah, I mean, I just look at the Big West right now, Nick, and it's just a logjam, man. Everybody's like kind of pretty good, but nobody's separating themselves except maybe Santa Barbara. And I don't even there. I want to see what happens once they get into conference play with their new head coach Joe Pasternak. I mean, they could run the table and win the conference. I don't know. But I picked UC Davis again. I picked Santa Barbara not first. And that was a big mistake by me. And they're kind of the big wild card, but you know, going down the list, I don't see, you know, a ton of change from last week. I'm definitely interested to see whether Long Beach State can hang with Michigan State. Cal Poly's
sure.
got, like, I guess the second toughest game this week against SMU, but UCSB plays at Nevada, so you know, Nevada is very good. They're coached by Eric Musselman, and they're 35th, or you know, kind of a top 35, 40 team in the country. And then Hawaii gets to host Miami in a tournament that's coming up. I think the Diamond Head Classic's coming up over the Christmas break, over the Christmas holiday, I think. That's a tournament that the Princeton people were talking to me about going to, because they'll be there as well. So that could be a common opponent that we see if Hawaii is able to host Princeton at some point in that
tournament. As it works out, that tournament. I'm actually the tourney I'm actually really interested in this week is the one you mentioned. Davis is playing Nevada on Tuesday, but then they're in this kind of weird tournament with in Las Vegas at the Orleans Arena, where they have the West Coast tournament and the WAC tournament. And they're going to play, they play Lamar on Friday, who's a 170-ish team in the Pomeroy rankings.
Yep.
And if they beat Lamar, they'll probably end up playing Radford, who's playing North Carolina A&T, a MEAC school. Radford's at 177. So I think those are both going to be interesting games for Davis, as we talk about, like, is Davis going to catch up to UCSB and kind of be like that co-favorite in the conference? If they can go to Las Vegas and win those two games against teams that, like you said, would probably be middle of the pack to good Big West teams in a weird arena in Las Vegas with probably 20 people in the stands, that's going to be a good test for them. I like that test for Davis, and as we talked about with Irvine, we tend to find out if Irvine's actually going to be competitive in the conference. They go to Montana
right
on Tuesday, which will be a interesting game, and then on Thursday they're at Idaho. So those are the two.
It says they're semi away against Idaho.
Yeah, they are. It's a weird game where they're playing in Boise.
Uh-huh.
I guess Idaho has one game every year they like to play in Boise, just to kind of have the fans that live there come out and do that kind of thing. So that should be an interesting game because it's, again, it's in Idaho, but it's not at the Kibbe Dome.
Right.
So,
and Idaho, of course, a team that Cal Poly lost to in the Great Alaska Shootout.
Yeah, yeah. And those two, you know, like we talked about, the Big West and Big Sky have been kind of floating around next to each other this year and last year in terms of the rankings. Those are the two teams that are probably the two favorites in that league. So, if UCI really is going to be a team that could win the Big West Conference, you would expect they could at least win one of those, if not two of those, because that's fairly replicable of a tough Big West away trip to go play them on 3 days up against Montana and Idaho. So
yeah,
those are the two teams that I'm going to be watching this week to see kind of what they do. Like you said, the rest of the schedule is kind of a smattering of easy either non-division one wins or, you know, games right. against Sac State or whatever and right. money games. So
right. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, for the Mustangs hanging in there, being competitive and getting better in some way, you know, gaining that identity will be important. Big West play, of course, starts after January. We'll probably, I don't know if we'll take next week off, but you can look for something maybe. And we'll be excited to get back with you to probably prep the Big West Conference season. We've done it a little bit here, but we really want to see how some of these teams stack up. A lot of bellwether games this week to see how teams are stacking up across conferences. But when we get into the Big West, you never know what's going to happen. We've seen teams, you know, who haven't been very good in early in the season, like Long Beach State sometimes has a crappy record, and then they'll get out in the Big West and start dominating. You know, maybe there's a team like that in somewhere in the conference this year. There's also teams that you go, that can't be real, can it? That can't be real, can it? And, you know, six games in, that team's 5-1 in the conference, and you go, okay, fine, that's real. I think that was like UC Davis a couple years ago when I said, it's Davis still, though. I'm not sure. It's Davis still. I'm not sure. Okay, fine. You know, Russell Turner did that, I think, when Will Davis was a senior. You know, he's like, okay, well, you know, he's had a couple years already, and, you know, they haven't really done it yet, and I don't know. Well, let's see here now.
You got to earn the benefit of the doubt. Yeah.
And, you know, Calero got there on some level for a minute with, you know, with the Amari Furman team, who was, you know, a winning team in conference. I think they got a 3 or 4 seed that year. When Amari was a senior, and Will Taylor was a senior, I think that was like Royer and UU's junior year.
That team Chris that O'Brien. Lost to Pacific at the in the tournament in the semis or whatever. That was a good team that way.
And they lost on that crazy buzzer beater by that guy. Yeah, I remember that.
Gill. Tony Gill.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was Tony Gill, the big stretch four for Pacific.
Right.
Yeah, the big Indian dude. Yeah, that just. Yeah, hit that shot.
That's right.
Win that game, I was there. And then Pacific ended up going to the tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there, and that was, of course, probably a crawl in the Big West as Pacific left him, and they got to represent him in the last year.
Yeah, because it was that year. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to wrap us up. We did a good job of keeping it a little shorter. We're going to try to whittle it down over time. But let us know if you have any comments, questions, thoughts on what we said, on what we should be doing. We're definitely an open book here on the podcast, the Burn the Breeze edition of the fansmanship.com podcast. You can find Nick Wynn. It's spelled WYNNE, and you can find him at Nick Wynn on Twitter. And you can find me at Fansmanship, or I guess at Owen Main. Look for me on Instagram as well for the photos that I like to take. And Nick, any last words for today?
No, I think that's it. Go watch some basketball this weekend.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Merry Christmas to everybody, and hope you have a great holiday. And for Nick, I'm Owen, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com. Well, stuck on down in trouble town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. Signs out on the streets direct me running back.